In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I remember when I was in the second grade Sunday school, Sister Devota Marie said, "Jesus is knocking on the door of your hearts, and the doorknob is only inside. You need to say to him, 'Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my life.'" This was taught to me as a second grade Sunday school by Sister Devota Marie. Oh yes, Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. We need to just say, "Lord, come in, save me. I repent of my sin. Fill me with love. Fill me with the Holy Spirit." How? We need to give ourselves to Jesus. Oh yes, it's all about Jesus. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. That's real. That's real. Today I want to pray for a woman who calls me, and she needs a direct intervention of the Lord God. She's in Connecticut, and we pray that Barbara would have an intervention in her physical body by the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm looking at Mark 6:45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowds. After saying farewell to the crowds and to them, he went up the mountain to pray. How we need to pray. How we need to take time to pray. You know, I don't know how to pray. I've been doing this for 100 years, and still I don't know how to pray. But you know what? God wants our presence, and we have the Blessed Sacrament in the house, and I know God wants us to sit and let the Blessed Sacrament, let Jesus do what he needs to do. He went up a mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea and was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars, maybe you're straining today. Maybe you have a storm in your heart. Call on the name of Jesus. He will come and he will give you peace. Maybe today is one of those days that you didn't want to even get up out of bed, but call on the Lord Jesus. He will help you. He will save you through it all. They were straining at the oars against an adverse wind. Maybe some wind of storm is blowing in your heart. You're worried about your children. You're worried about paying your bills. Oh God, have them trust Jesus. No matter what happens, have them trust Jesus. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. He came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. Jesus walking on the water. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. He'll lift you up and he'll help you to stand. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the winds that blow. Here comes Jesus. He'll make you whole. Here comes Jesus. He'll save your soul. He's walking on the water. What does that mean? The water denoted confusion for the people of the Bible. Jesus is Lord over confusion. He walks over confusion. Confusion is under his feet. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him, and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. Take heart, do not be afraid, take heart. Jesus wants to come into your life, and there'll be a wonderful calm, a wonderful peace. They were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. He had taken several loaves and a couple of fish and fed 5,000 men. And still, even as the disciples gave out this food, they didn't understand. They didn't understand, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Oh, yes. You know, when Jesus does something, we want to say, thank you, Lord. When Jesus does something, we want to say, praise you, Jesus. We want to let everyone know. I told you we had a great miracle in the place for we go for driving, and we usually go, and you have to wait hours and hours, and we prayed that we would be able to get in and go out, and that's exactly what happened. We got in and got out. We didn't have to wait hours like many of the people. Oh, yes, we want to glorify the Lord that he gave us this grace, this beautiful grace. Then they had crossed over. They came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, the people at once recognized him. Oh, they want to touch Jesus. They are in deep need, like us. We need to touch Jesus. We are people in deep need. And he rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Oh, yes. This is Jesus, the doctor. Dr. Jesus is the doctor today, too. You know, I tell people, you go to the best doctors, go to the best hospitals, but invite Dr. Jesus to come and heal you. Dr. Jesus, oh yes, how we need a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. How did they touch it? With faith. All who touched it with faith were healed. Oh, yes. With faith were healed. I remember praying over a young man whose back was sick. And I think, I don't know if he had cancer, but he was very, very sick in the back. He didn't believe that God had given gifts to men. And I prayed over him. And his back was completely healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He then tells his brother years later, let's go down to see Father Tom. You're about to have this big operation. Have Father Tom pray with you. The operation was they needed to get a bone in his brain because he was missing a bone in his ear. The brain was coming through his ear. And so they brought him to me. I just said a simple prayer. When he had the operation, there was a bone that appeared. God did this for this man. And there was a bone that appeared, and his brain was healed. Oh, yes. How God uses the weak and makes them strong in faith. Today, St. Paul talked about his weaknesses. He said, when I am most weak, then I am most strong. Chapter 7 of Mark. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing his hands. for the Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. This is not tradition with the capital T. This is tradition with the small t. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are so many other traditions with the small t that they observe the washing of the cups, pots, bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition, small t, of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips. Oh God, I do not want to honor you with my lips. I want to honor you with my life. But their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts, tradition with a small t, as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition with a small t. Then he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is korban, that is offering given to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God. Through your tradition with a small t that you have handed on, and you do many other things like this. Then he called the crowds again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. In other words, you can eat food. It doesn't defile your body. It doesn't make you sin. It doesn't make you evil. The food goes into the stomach. But the things that come out of the mouth and out of the body are these things that defile. That's right. Gossip. Pointing to people saying, they're stupid. Pointing to people saying, Catholics worship dead bread. I've had people write that to me. Tom, don't worship dead bread. And I just said, you know what? Jesus said, I am the living bread come down from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all food clean. And he said, it is what comes out of a person that defiles. Oh, yes. And what comes out of a person? For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, fornication come, theft comes, murder comes, adultery comes, avarice comes, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from the heart within, and they defile a person. Food cannot defile you because it goes into the stomach and it is let out into the sewer. Food cannot defile you. Food cannot defile you. Verse 24 of chapter 7. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Oh, but they've got their eyes on where he goes. They need a touch from him. And he cannot go anyplace without people trying to touch him, push him, beg him to heal them. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about Jesus. I love these sayings. They heard about Jesus. Someone told the Syrophoenician woman about the Lord Jesus. Her daughter had an evil spirit. So what does she do? She breaks into the house. She came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged Jesus to cast out the demon of her, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I tell you, what is the children's food? Healing and deliverance. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Gentiles were called dogs. Well, the woman said, you know what? The woman answered Jesus, Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, For saying that, you may go. The demon have blessed your daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Do you know that the food of the children are healing and deliverance? Oh yes, that's the food of the children. Your food and my food. Touching Jesus. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. He's the one that can help you. He's the one that we need to ask to help us, because he's the one who heals us, no one else. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. That's the Gentile region of this, what's beyond the sea. It's Gentile region, Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech. Of course he had an impediment in his speech. He was deaf. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took the deaf man aside in private, away from the crowd. Why? Because there was noise. There was noise, a lot of noise, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his hand, into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and his tongue was released. This is a miracle. Tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them to tell no one, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This man had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not only healed, but he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to do that. That he would become our personal Lord and Savior. That he would become our deliverer. That he would become our Lord. Not only the Lord of the church, but the Lord of the church becomes my Lord through faith. How we need a touch from Jesus. Oh, who are you going to tell about Jesus today? The Syrophoenician woman came because someone told her about Jesus. Oh, yes. How are we going to get Jesus' name out there? Who are we going to tell to get Jesus' name out there? Go to Jesus. And people say, go to that little church at the end of the world in Winthrop, and Jesus is there. How many people have said to me, your church is different. I go into the church and immediately get feel the presence of God. That's God. That's God. How many letters have I received that said, I came in with a heavy heart, my child is in jail, and I left with a light heart. The presence of God came over me. I tell you how much we need the presence of God, how much we need to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. Well, Jesus preached for 3 days to this crowd, and he has compassion on them because they don't have any food to eat. So what's he going to do? He's going to bless the food. He's going to multiply the food. He's going to have the disciples give out the food. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come a great distance. His disciples replied, how can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks like the Eucharist, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these two should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over from the 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, that means 4,000 men, who had been with Jesus as he preached for 3 days. Oh yes, this was a retreat. This was a retreat, a 3-day retreat where Jesus spoke the word of God, and people were hungry, not only for the word of God, but for their food. There was no food left, but Jesus multiplies the food. Why? Because he has compassion on the crowd. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came, verse 11, chapter 8, and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven. Gosh, they've got all these signs. We have deaf people being healed. We have demons coming out of little girls. We have ears opening up and speech being cleared. They want a sign. And he said, sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation. Oh, yes. And getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side, to the Jewish side. Oh yes, how we need to know that Jesus always multiplies. He doesn't divide. The church is called to multiply with people who believe in Jesus and who have given their lives to Jesus. Oh yes, how the church needs to be filled with men, women, and children because they love Jesus. I received a little picture of a girl. She must have been 2 years old, and she was weeping. Her mother said, why are you weeping? And she's 2 years old. She's because Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And she wept and wept and wept because she had experienced that Jesus loved her as a 2-year old. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit. Save the dates, July 14th to the 20th, at Holy Rosary Church in Winthrop, 1015 Shirley Street, Winthrop, Mass. And if you want to know more about it, it's between the 14th and the 20th of July. Go to www.daysofglory.org and you can register. www.daysofglory.org and you can register. Jesus heals the sick and the brokenhearted. That's you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.